is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros lost 2-0 yesterday to the Chicago White Sox. We're hoping they're back in the win column this afternoon. But, Joe, I'm at a point now where I want people to realize that this team in 2024 is just a bad product. I understand the idea of loyalty in sports because all of us, you want to have your hometown's teams back forever. But there comes a time where the time that you invest in this team or the money that you invest in this team is a net loss. I ask this question. I'm very curious to know the answer to it with where they stand right now. 10 games out of first place in the AL West with the playoffs looking more and more far-fetched by the day. What are you still watching for? I understand blind faith, loyalty to a team that's brought you so much happiness, and I'm not telling you to abandon it. What I am telling you, though, is that a team that costs a lot of money to watch, whether it's on Fubo TV or on cable. For me, Fubo TV, it's $100 a month. I literally only have Fubo TV so I can watch the Houston Astros while cutting the cord. It's $233, which is the fourth most in baseball per game, based off of the cheapest four tickets, two beers, two sodas, four hot dogs, and parking. Fourth in all of baseball.
Yeah.
They got a lot of money on that payroll. They're trying to build that stuff downtown that's by the stadium. There are lots of reasons to look at the Astros, realizing that they're not going to lower those prices anytime soon for any of those things. And on top of that, they're expecting you to invest a couple of hours a night watching these games.
Yeah, it's to the point where the price is questionable. Like one of the mistakes that I made this year was going with the cable route because I can't get out of that deal.
No,
I'm in a contract for a year, so we're locked in.
Oh boy!
At the moment,
I forgot about contracts for cable.
Yeah, I hate Fubo.
I hate it too.
Yeah,
but I will say, of all the things that it has that are valuable to me, the DVR that it has,
yeah,
that's legitimately it. Because the Astros and the Rockets, too. The Space City Home Network, nothing against the fine people who work there. I like all of them. Vanessa, of course, Kevin, and everybody a part of the broadcast. But you're at a point right now where I'm looking at it at the same way that I would look and tell teams or fans of teams in other markets that have been bad for a really long time. You're committing yourself to a bad product. Yes, it does represent your hometown, but at the same time, it is also a corporation that you are either investing money or time in. And that's what sucks the most about this team right now. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but in doing so, I mean, you are just handing them money that, let's be honest, they have not earned this year.
Yeah, at this point, I would imagine most people are watching because they still believe that, like, there's still a belief that they look at the players on the field and they say, okay, this is not what it was pre-2015. This is still Yordan Alvarez and Framber Valdez and Jose Altuve, and they're going to figure this thing out. And maybe this year, maybe they won't even make the playoffs, but they're going to play good baseball again this season. And 2025 is going to be much better than 2024 was. And it's just a pride thing because you do look at the numbers. You know, you go back in time too. I know there was all the TV issues with Comcast, but the attendance was poor. The ratings were zeros on the radio and on television. Like, people abandoned this team when they fell apart. This team is not that, obviously, but it's, like, for me, like, I wouldn't watch if it wasn't my job because it's the same as the Texans. But, like, I also, I don't invest my time in things that are a waste. Like for example, I don't watch the Cubs anymore. They're a waste of my time. They're an awful baseball team. They just happen to be in the National League, so they're only a game out of the wild card. But they're not a good product. So, like, I'm not wasting my time when I have a family and a son and things to do and a job that, like, I'm not going to waste 3 hours of my day watching an awful product. You know, I give credit to people on Saturday. Like, there are people on Saturday that I saw tweeting, like, when it was finally 10-0, they're like, that's when I turned it off. That's what you're doing on your Saturday? Like, you're watching a team get beat to death on a baseball field and you're still watching it? Good for you.
We got some really interesting answers when I threw this question out on Twitter. Space City Sports responded, I kind of watch in disbelief.
At this point, his Twitter account is more entertaining than the Astros because people keep DMing him on Twitter with complaints about the Space City Home
Correct.
Network,
it's pretty
thinking
funny.
That he's them, and he's just trolling them back. And, like, he is more entertaining than they are on the field.
Dr. Maya Angeboobs, funny account on Twitter. Best analogy I can come up with is that once you've got the battery cables attached to your nips, you might as well give them some juice. If you've invested April through June into the team, you might as well give it the July through September juice.
I don't know about all that.
There is a part of me, and I have to because it's my job, but there is a part of me that feels because I have invested as much time as I have in the first couple of months that I need to see this through. But at the same time, I'm finding myself in the same place that I found myself watching The Office when The Office first came out on TV. I used to change the channel from NBC while The Office was on live TV because Steve Carell's Michael Scott made me so uncomfortable. But and yet, I turned right back after about 2 seconds flipping away from the channel to continue to watch the car crash.
Yeah, for me right now, the Astros are The Walking Dead. That show...
Two great comparisons to your baseball team.
I loved The Walking Dead when it first came out.
When The Walking Dead was first out,
it was a great television show.
Yeah.
And from the moment that they killed Glenn, it started to like unravel. Because Negan was supposed to be this like incredible thing. Like that to me feels like the end of like what the last 2 years were.
I remember I saw that episode live in a Hollywood cemetery because I was doing a podcast about The Walking Dead. Back in the day at that time, and yeah, that season was rather disappointing.
Yeah, but then like I mostly will like stick with bad. Like I stuck with The Office, even when it was bad, because like I loved the show, and I stuck with The Walking Dead, and I watched Carl die, and I watched all these things happen. I watched it get worse and worse and worse, and then finally, before the last season, I quit.
Yeah,
and like that's how I kind of feel about the Astros.
Yeah, I mean. For me, I had a similar experience with The Walking Dead. And funny you mentioned Carl dying. That was literally the last episode I watched.
Not
because I was so upset that they killed Carl. It's because I realized I cared zero. I had zero emotional attachment to the fact that they killed one of the like main character, the child of the main character. And I was just like, all right. And I was like, I don't enjoy this. Why am I still watching this?
Yeah.
And that's a point where the Astros are going to reach where, I mean, even when I turn on the games, like I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm emotionally invested in this team at all. Like when they lose, I'm just like, oh, wow. And like I just immediately go, and part of it is the job. I just go into, oh, wow. Well, they keep giving us this to talk about. They keep giving us new ways to talk about how they're falling all over themselves.
From the 936, we're still watching because we, the fans, are the true Houston Astros. We have watched this team through many years of disappointment, and this year kind of feels like that. I will pat people on the back who actually did watch this team through 2011 through 2015. I'll be honest, though, I have a hard time believing you just given what I know about this town. As far as sports go, from 2011 to 2015, they were legitimately mailing it in so they could get the best possible draft picks that they could. I think it's a very dishonorable way to build a team. It certainly can work, and it worked for the Astros, even though they missed on Mark Appel and Brady Aiken. They got some good picks along the way. But I don't like it when teams do that. I feel like it's disrespectful to the people that are investing in them. And yes, they represent the hometown team, but you're totally allowed to look at it from this perspective too. They're a bad product right now, and an expensive one at that.
Yeah, look, there are really, really strong like fans in this city that stand with their teams no matter what, and I give them credit. But you are the minority of the people in this city. Look at the Astros, what they went through, and you think, oh, well, that's an extreme. It's not an extreme. Look at the Rockets post-James Harden. It has been a joke at Toyota Center. It has been empty even when they've brought in young prospects and good young players, and you're hoping they're going to build something. There's no one there. The Houston Texans, even at the start of last year when CJ Stroud was playing home games, it was embarrassing to see what those crowds looked like until things turned around. There are highly passionate fans, but for the most part, people give up and stop watching here. And I don't blame them but more in this city than most. Like I think that, like, if you're still listening to us right now, like, talk about the Astros, I think you fall into that passionate category because you I don't know why you care anymore what we have to say about the Houston Astros, because it is rinse and repeat. Like, it is what Davis Mills was. It is what Kevin Porter was right now. It's the same stories over and over again. Highly disappointing. The difference is you have real players on this team that you hope for the better, but they're just not giving us any, like, any reason.
Right.
To.
That to me is the difference, though. That's what makes this more interesting than the David Culley Texans and the Kevin Porter and Steven Silas Rockets, is that, and the 2012 Houston Astros, was those teams were telling you, we are not going to be competitive. This year, not going to happen. This is interesting because it's very different, because you still have the GM of the Astros today being like, you know, if they can only cut the lead in half, then we can be buyers. There's still a chance that we're buyers and we're going to be playing postseason games. So there is a little bit of a difference, because with those Astros teams, once Jim Crane first bought the team, I did not watch, because they were telling me, they were upfront with their strategy is, we're going to lose a lot of baseball games. If that's the strategy, cool, don't have to watch. This is different, though, because this is not the strategy. This season is not going according to plan.
They're still selling you that the product is good, even though it's way more expensive now. And, I mean, we're all smart enough to know, right now, it's not. Could it change? Sure. Season's not over. If you have faith, you have faith. I'm not telling you to ever lose faith in anything in your life. All I'm saying is, this is a bad product. The financials scream it. Going to the game, watching the game for whatever, through whatever means you do, unless you're doing it like some maybe do with MLB.tv and a VPN, which theoretically you could do. Never would.
If you have a free T-Mobile MLB TV account.
That's true,
hypothetically,
too.
And you're a radio producer.
Technically, that's piracy, but it's because of, I think, very archaic rules that baseball has set in stone.
Well, I mean, their whole, like, baseball's, like, not, this is not, because Spacey Home Network is saving the Astros from this disaster. Whatever's, this, like, Bally Sports stuff is a mess.
Yeah, total mess. Diamond Sports Group, all that stuff.
Do you think Craneville still gets built in the way that they originally had planned?
I think that they are going to try to make it happen, but if the team's not good, people will not go.
Yeah.
Houston is an area.
Downtown's tough, right, for the most part.
Look, I love the downtown area. It's gotten so much nicer in the time that I've been here. Like, when I first moved down here, no one would ever go downtown. East downtown, I think it's great. I think the area around the stadium, it's way better than the area around NRG Stadium, that's for sure.
For sure.
But this is a city where the go-to places in town, whether it's bars or stuff like this, jump from one part of town to the next 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 with almost no rhyme or reason. It's once something gets a little bit old, people move on. It was Midtown for bars. Then it was Washington. Now it's the Heights. It's been the Heights for a while. Might not always be the Heights. Might be another part of town that pops up. East downtown had a nice little run. Downtown had a nice little run. Things just changed so much. So thinking about it from a long-term perspective, if you're Jim Crane, you got to wonder if people are going to come to this if they don't win. And I would venture to say no. Even with how good they've been over time, especially if the ticket prices are what they are right now, I don't think people will.
Yeah, I think he's banking on the Rockets turning around a little bit too. Cause like
maybe.
Because like the Craneville idea only really works if the Rockets are also good, because you need it to be
year-round.
365 exactly. or pretty close to that. You know what I mean? In theory, you have, like 110 dates. Like, there's not a ton of overlap between Astros and Rockets home games, so you have a good amount of days of the year where there's people downtown for a reason. But yeah, it is a bad product right now. Like, I give people who are still, like, watching it because it's on, I get it. The people who are still, like, passionately, like, angry about what's happening, like, I give you credit, because the players, like, are just failing in the same way over and over again.
And I wonder if last night kind of killed the last little embers of passion that anyone having, like, anger that this team can have, or that any fan of this team can have. Because at this point, I feel like people should be just kind of resigned to, until they actually have a 10 game stretch where they play awesome baseball. You should not expect them to play awesome baseball this year. And yeah, as far as the product, if you still want to watch the Astros, and like I do, where I'm not really invested and I'm not living and dying, I don't think a run's going to happen, but I'm watching just to watch because it's a Wednesday night, sure. But as far as like when you talk about the prices of like going to these games, and I don't think
time driving from outside the loop.
I can't believe the prices haven't troughed yet.
I don't think that Houston, the city of Houston, needs me to put voice to this, but until they change the prices, going to a game is definitely not worth it.
It's a lot of money. I mean, I have a great time whenever I'm there. Don't get me wrong, but if I'm going there in a non-work capacity, that is a ton of money for me.
Just go to a sports bar.
I'm going this weekend.
Highway Cantina.
Like,
go to Highway Cantina.
We'll be there next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'm going this weekend, but like, I'm not going to watch the Astros. I'm going to Jordan Alvarez, hopefully playing, Kyle Tucker, hopefully playing. But I'm kind of going to see Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman this weekend.
Oof.
And like, because they're great young players, and I want to see a cool baseball team.
I'd go to see my friend Kevin Brown, Orioles broadcaster.
Mm.
But the actual game, I don't know. I mean, that's where we're at right now. It's unfortunate. I truly hope it turns around. And, hey, if they sweep the Orioles over the weekend, maybe we have a totally different song and tune on Monday. I hope that happens. I really do. Kalon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros looking to get a win against the White Sox tonight. We did hear from Dana Brown on the Astros flagship earlier. He says that we got to get on one of those rolls that I keep talking about. By the end of July, we have to cut the 10-game lead in the American League West in half, Joe George.
I agree. Let's try not to make it much harder by getting a win today. Like, win two of the next three. Like, don't lose a series to the White Sox. Because, like, you lose it, like, I'm done. White flag up. No hope. Dead. See you later. It's possible. The schedule does favor this, at least from your end. The hardest part about this is honestly that Seattle's just playing great baseball right now. And even, you know, even the wild card, we've spent so much time talking about Minnesota as the team to catch. Well, the Minnesota Twins have now won 6 straight games. They've won 8 of their last 9, and they have surpassed the Kansas City Royals into second place in the AL Central. So now the third wild card you're chasing is technically the Royals, who have 41 wins this season. So that's tough. I mean, they're 41-32. You're 7.5 back.
It does seem like a young team in the Royals could fall apart.
Yes.
Because of how awesome their start was. I know a lot of people in Kansas City were all excited about the start, but all of them were sort of thinking to themselves, is this really going to last? But you could also say the same thing about a couple other teams in the AL Central, the Guardians, too, who are off to a surprising start. Anyway, with that in mind, talking a little bit about big picture baseball, I thought we could start a new segment that allows us to talk about the entirety of our nation's pastime.
This is baseball today, this afternoon, this week.
So, I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but the New York Mets have won 7 games in a row since they allowed Grimace, the purple McDonald's mascot, to throw out the first pitch. They beat the Marlins twice, swept the Padres at home, and have beaten the Texas Rangers in back-to-back games.
McDonald's has even changed their Twitter logo to Grimace in the Mets hat.
Interesting.
So they're even in on it as well. The Grimace effect.
Can they contract Grimace to throw the first pitch out at an Astros game? Or are they so in bed with Whataburger that this would be a crime against Whataburger, whatever deals they have with the Astros, and the entirety of Texas, seeing as Whataburger is the national brand of Texas?
I think they can probably get away with it, but do you have to go with someone else? Like, does that have to be the Hamburglar?
No, I don't want the Hamburglar.
You want Grimace?
I don't want that criminal anywhere around the Astros.
Why can't we just get Ronald?
Not Ronald. There's children at the ballpark. I don't want Ronald near the kids.
Because he's a clown, not because of any allegations.
Just because he's the clown, right?
Yeah, breaking exactly. News here on the show.
No, he's a clown. Clowns are scary.
Agreed.
Ronald Weinstein.
Come on, Grimace. Jeez. Grimace.
He's the represents, big purple blob.
He represents the national drink of Houston. Our chief export. It's purple drink.
Good point. That's a good point, Paul.
Yeah.
We need Grimace.
It would be nice to bring Grimace out. At the very least, the Texas Rangers, who are not winning games and are as disappointing as the Houston Astros, considering they are the defending World Series champions. But at the very least, the ballpark, you've got reasons to go. For one, while they have hijacked the band Creed and Scott Stapp, and it bothers me, at the very least, they are finding new ways to bring Scott Stapp into our lives with arms wide open.
Let's make our escape, so let's go there. Ask, can we stay?
Hell yeah.
Can you take me higher?
Mariachi Creed.
I love
this. Is elite. Shout out to the Rangers for doing something right.
And also to circle back to fully connect these two topics here. There is not a Whataburger inside Minute Maid Park.
There isn't.
There is one inside the Rangers Stadium. Oh. So maybe the Astros and their fans should not be offended by a McDonald's personality throwing out a first pitch.
I assume there would be, because it seems like every other ad on the Space City Home Network is for Whataburger.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, Grimace isn't going to be on TV.
Yeah.
So bring Grimace to the park.
I mean, because what's in Minute Maid? It's what's the burger place? Mm. Shake Shack. Isn't that in there?
I don't know.
I'll take a word for it.
Yeah, sure. I think it's Shake Shack.
Sure, I'm not sure.
I know it's not. Trill Burger is at NRG.
Yep,
No, not yet, but that'll be there soon. Yeah. I still haven't had a Trill Burger. I got to do it at some point. The Rangers also are, speaking of the New York Mets, piquing the interest of one Mets broadcaster. Here is the Keith Hernandez looking at the Texas Rangers six shooter squad, their cheerleaders.
They have cheerleaders in Texas.
Oh.
It's like a high school football game.
It does. What high school?
Not yours. Adam Ottavino leads off in the home seventh.
What a subject change. Holy crap, Keith.
Woo! Good pivot by the play-by-play guy. They get out of that one.
My God.
He knew what was coming next.
Listen, I get it, Keith. You were a sex symbol back in the day. Let's tone it down. You need a bonk mid-broadcast.
What high school?
What is that line, dude? My God. Very weird.
Oh, my goodness. Keep it in your pants, bud.
Continuing to go around baseball, Aaron Judge got hit in the hand by a pitch in last night's game, and it led to an all-time out-of-nowhere take by Washington Post NFL reporter, I say reporter in quotation marks, Jason LaCanfora, who believes that Judge getting hit on the hand is karma. Quote, if Aaron Judge is hurt, he should have a long talk about his jackass right fielder about how he runs the bases. Getting pinch hit for now. Oh, well, you know what they say about karma. He has been crushed for this take that Aaron Judge got hit because of karma for Juan Soto, I guess, being a jackass.
Yeah. Coming from the biggest loser on planet Earth. Like, this is why, like, I would love...
Biggest loser on planet Earth?
Jason LaCanfora. He sucks.
Is he the biggest
loser
on planet Earth?
He's awful at his job. He is a total fraud. Like, he's a giant douchebag.
Oh.
Like, this guy, he deserves to get crushed for this thing.
I feel like there are bigger losers than Jason LaCanfora.
I don't know, man.
Though.
I think he is the worst thing to happen to sports media. He is at the top.
The worst thing to happen to sports media?
Honest to God. Like, I think he is the absolute worst guy in sports media.
Want to have him on the show?
No, thank you. I'll pass.
Would you walk out of the studio?
This is not Jeremy Booth, who I like. This guy is a straight up loser.
We'll wait until he takes a vacation.
Works at the Washington Post, though.
And he's been fired from wherever else he's worked.
CBS Sports.
Because he breaks wrong news all the time.
That is the funny thing about Jason, as John McClane calls him, Jason No Confirma.
No.
It does seem like all of his breaking news stories are wrong. He had a couple of bad ones about the Texans not too long ago, right? Wasn't there something about Nick Caserio potentially getting canned after the draft last year?
Was it the going to the Patriots? Was it that one?
I think there was something last year where Jason LaCanfora said that there's a chance that Caserio gets fired after the draft.
Yeah. And like he does stuff like this all the time. Like this is from, I knew Jake Aspin was going to help me out with this one. I knew it. In 2014, Jason LaCanfora tweeted, "There is no place but baseball where we encourage adults to throw things at people over hurt feelings." So he's not totally against it there, right? And then but he's not saying he's all about it. And then this year he is encouraging people to throw 99 at Juan Soto's ribs.
Yeah, I don't know why he thinks Juan Soto deserves some sort of karmic retribution.
I'm going to take a wild guess here, but I'm probably not going to say it on the air. But probably has to do with, like, I don't know. Maybe there's some racial tones to this.
All right. I don't know.
I'm just saying. Like,
I was wondering where you were going. Like, I got something, but I'm not going to share it on the air. You can't say that.
That made me more curious about it. That's why I said it.
He works for the Washington Post.
I'm just saying. Like, typically, like, stuff like this has, like, racial tones attached to it. When you hate a player that much for literally no reason.
I truly don't know what it is.
Maybe he's a spurn Nats fan.
It could be that.
Upset that Juan Soto left.
Did work for the Post.
He's a Red Sox fan.
I didn't know that. Nick Castellanos is at it again.
He
destroyed a reporter's laptop with a foul ball.
Love that.
And he had a walk-off hit the same day that Willie Mays passed away, upstaging yet another national tragedy.
Well, I think that's unfair to put this first one on the reporter. I mean, on Nick Castellanos. Be an athlete to the reporter. catch the ball.
Well,
I don't think this is
You have to reach forward to catch it. It's an unnatural motion.
If it hit your computer.
Just protect the computer, at the very least. Not even make the catch. Yeah. Protect the computer.
Yeah, that's unfair to put on Nick.
I wonder if the company gave him that computer. So that was going on with Nick Castellanos. And Joe, you mentioned the Twins at the beginning of the segment, how they're playing well all of a sudden. But you know who didn't play well? J.J. McCarthy, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, threw out a horrible first pitch before last night's Minnesota Twins game. It was really bad.
It was, like, really, really bad.
If either, as a quarterback.
If either you or Jeremy throw a first pitch that bad, well, you would have some problems. I wouldn't have any problems. I would find it hilarious. But you guys would have problems. You guys were not picked in the first round of the NFL draft.
If I throw a better pitch than J.J. McCarthy, should I be considered as a quarterback option for the Minnesota Vikings? We'd have to run the triple option because I don't know if I can run the ball past 10 yards.
You might be a better fit for the Chargers.
Mm.
And just being back with Harbaugh.
Let's go.
Hand it off.
Yeah. I'll lie about going to just Michigan.
Hand it off. Be good to go.
That would work. All right, guys. That is baseball today, this afternoon, this week. A new segment that's sweeping the nation. Up next, Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Maybe this is why A-Team won the championship on Monday night. They were willing to sacrifice one of their fan favorites to cross the finish line. If there was a fan favorite you could sacrifice here in Houston to turn the Astros season around, who would you pick? It is Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You answer that after this.
What high school?
Now back to Paul Gallant and Joe George, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
After yesterday's show, Sean Mapes, the producer of the Gallant and George radio program, made us aware of a tweet from a Boston sports account. It showed a picture of two beloved fan favorite athletes in Boston's recent sports history who were traded right before their teams won a championship. First, you have Nomar Garciaparra, who was traded at the 2004 trade deadline before the Red Sox won their first championship since before that, 1918. And then you got Marcus Smart, who everyone in Boston was obsessed with because of his defense and hustle.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't necessarily the greatest fit. The Celtics traded Marcus Smart. They end up replacing him with Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday this offseason. The Red Sox traded for Orlando Cabrera, who was a key piece in their 2004 eventual World Series victory. Who among Houston's fan favorites would you be willing to sacrifice with the understanding that it would make things turn around?
You get a championship?
You get a championship.
Well, I think we have to kind of connect the history here of what we're talking about. And I think you have to go to the standard of the last time and the ultimate sacrifice was made in Houston sports for a championship. The morning after the Astros won in 2017, Deshaun tore his ACL. So I think the question is, would you be okay if C.J. Stroud tore his ACL at this football camp so the Astros could turn it around and win a World Series this year?
This is bad vibes.
In front of the eight-year-olds?
Come on,
and
man.
And Terrell Owens?
I think that's the question. Like, Deshaun tore his ACL so the Astros could win.
I was thinking it flipped. I was thinking... How many Astros need to get Tommy John surgery for C.J. Stroud?
Well, so on the list
Tech.
Already like 15 deep.
That's
okay?
What I'm saying. Christian Javier already did his part.
And Urquidy, and now maybe Verlander.
I mean, it's neck discomfort. Come on.
So is Javier's.
The Astros training staff's got this.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
Please disperse. I think it's unfair though to make the sacrifice happen in another sport. I mean,
that's fair.
That wouldn't be consistent with this because the Celtics won after moving on from Marcus Smart. The Red Sox won after moving on from Nomar Garciaparra. I mean, we're talking about how low are you willing to go in terms of a sacrifice for the Houston Astros to win? Would you be willing to trade Jose Altuve at the trade deadline? Because that is probably the extreme here. And I think we all draw the line there. We all want Altuve to remain here the remainder of his career. But is there anybody else? How about Yordan Alvarez? Would you sacrifice Yordan Alvarez to win an Astros World Series this year?
I mean, you would probably.
I would.
You would get so much in return.
I would.
You would?
If it gets them the World Series, definitively gets them, I have no problem moving on from Yordan Alvarez. Altuve is the only person I will draw the line at. Love Yordan, but, I mean, would have been nice to have him yesterday, too. And, again, family issue. That's at least what the Astros told us. They did have a day off the day before. Hopefully everything is okay on Yordan Alvarez's front. All I am saying is I'm willing to move on from Yordan Alvarez if it means a championship. If the Celtics can move on from Marcus Smart, if the Red Sox can move on from Nomar Garciaparra.
Marcus Smart was like a below-average player who's just really good on
defense. You shut your mouth. That is not how anyone in Boston views him.
I understand that's not how they view him. Yordan Alvarez is actually one of the best players in baseball.
Okay.
So that's
Marcus Smart
like
was defensive player of the year,
apples
kid.
Apples and oranges here a little
defensive
bit.
Defensive player of the year. You don't understand the impact he had. As a non-big guy, here you are looking at Marcus Smart like he wasn't a big deal.
What about Bregman? Easily, right?
Bregman's an easy decision to make right now. That's why I added Alvarez in here because I think both Bregman and maybe even Kyle Tucker, I think we both are sort of thinking, well, they're not going to be here this much longer anyway.
I was thinking Bregman is the fan favorite analog, too. As far as like longtime Astro, just like Smart was longtime Boston Celtic.
Yeah, Bregman would hurt a lot of Astros fans, even if it resulted in like how it did for Boston in something great. Especially like with like the Nomar comp. Like Nomar was a great player. He was awful in Chicago when they got him, but Bregman probably is the right comp for Nomar. I would say.
Mm-hmm. Someone on the text line says sacrifice Jeff Bagwell. Doesn't work that way. I feel like Bagwell's already tarnished his reputation enough where he's no longer a fan favorite. Texas Tags on our YouTube says bye-bye Verlander as well. The thing is with Verlander, you've moved on from him before.
Yeah, I don't think that's much of a sacrifice.
Yeah, this is like the fling after the marriage where you're not sure it's going anywhere and it's not quite the same.
It's also tough with the Astro, picking any Astro, because it's either they just got here or are relatively new, or they're at kind of the end of, like Justin Verlander at the end of his career, Bregman at the end of his contract at the very least, where, and they've already done so much winning, where the Celtics, they hadn't won for 16 years. The Red Sox hadn't won for 86. Was that the...
Yeah, 86.
86 years. So the Astros being like, yeah, we'll sacrifice to win a World Series that we also won 2 years ago. It's like harder to make that trade than it would be for like the Texans. And the Texans, it's hard because you're kind of... It's all young players. It's hard. You're not emotionally ready to get rid of any of them.
Yeah, so maybe Rodon is the one that would be the ultimate question. Is like, would you trade Yordan Alvarez for presumably another very good player and a great starting pitcher to win a World Series this year? Like, as much like you think back to the World Series, the Mariners, the Phillies, like in the Phillies game in the World Series, what Yordan Alvarez did for this team to move on now, but to get another one.
Again, we're doing it. This is a ritualistic blood sacrifice that we don't feel good about, but it is going to get us something in the end. We're selling our soul to a degree here.
Pena?
He's my friend. I can't do that. Someone on the text line asked that.
That's right. Yeah.
From the 409. Someone from the 281 says, haven't we sacrificed enough? I mean, we feel we've sacrificed a lot with these really rough 2.5 months to open the year and with how bad September was. And, of course, losing in the ALCS to the Rangers. But we do have to realize we've had it pretty good.
Yeah. Does it have to be an Astro?
I think it does, to be consistent with this conversation.
The text line's trying to sacrifice me, but that guy doesn't like me, so he almost doesn't care.
We don't want to sacrifice Joe. I don't want to do more work. You kidding me? Come on.
Yeah, I think you have to. Who would you sacrifice from the Texans to guarantee their Super Bowl this year?
Fan favorite.
Tank Dell.
Damn, dude.
Damn.
He got shot this offseason.
I was thinking
you just shot him again.
What were you thinking?
Come on. I was thinking like an injury. I forgot he got shot for a second.
It's like you making fun of those Boston Marathon.
I know. Races. Oh, yeah.
By the way, I actually got into a fight with somebody I got into a fight with Matt Perrault on the internet. No one cares about that, but I was like, it's a shameless cash grab by the Red Sox, which it is, by the way.
I forgot. I did
it
that.
Is a shameless cash grab. The Red Sox have have more expensive tickets than anyone in baseball, and they blow.
They probably have a better record than the Astros.
They do have a better record than the Astros.
would you sacrifice Tank Dell if it meant
a Super Bowl?
Yeah, trade Tank Dell away.
Listen, everybody other than CJ Stroud on the Texans,
gone.
Sorry. If it means a ritualistic sacrifice consistent with this argument, if I got to do it, I'll do it.
I don't think there's anyone for the Rockets that this applies to. Like, I would trade any of them for a championship.
That's the thing. Like, they're all so young that it's like...
Yeah, no one I'm attached
it's
to.
It's realistic that some of them get traded.
I mean, like,
Alpi. I guess most people would.
Yeah, I guess Shingun would be the hardest one to part with.
Turkey might come after us if they trade him, but.
Oh, yeah.
And they might attack you.
Well, they would definitely attack us if we said that we would trade Alperen Şengün for a Rockets title, which we're not saying.
Yeah, we're not saying that.
We're not saying that.
Dell was saying it all during the 10 o'clock
stream. Dell called Alperen Şengün a big Turkish stiff.
Again.
Again?
Dell? You should check out the podcast, people of Turkey. Check out the podcast for that. Also, maybe check on history.
And subscribe.
make sure to like and subscribe.
Like
Leave a five-star review.
YouTube.com at ESPN Houston. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Listen, clicks are good. Also, while you're on the internet, maybe, I don't know, do a little research into the way that you guys look at people who are different than you. Just a thought. #Armenia. Up next. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We wrap things up with a little thing that we like to call garbage time, and we are going to dump so hard on one of the worst host cities for a huge sporting event of all time. Proof next. Stick around.
Tell you about my friends at OWA Athletic. I was over there in the Heights this morning, 767 North Shepherd. I love going there. My routine is simple. Wake up, drop the kid off, go to the gym, come to work. Like, you might listen to this and say, Joe, you live in League City. Why do you go to the gym in the Heights? Well, it's nice and convenient for me for work. Plus, it's a great place to work out. Over 100 classes per week that you can take. Today was an interesting day, though, at the gym. I got to say, I walk in, and really for the first time, I saw a full-on, like, UFC training session going on. Terrifying. Not going to be taking part in that class myself, but you can if you want to. Jiu-jitsu classes, weight training, agility training, whatever kind you want there as well. Also, if you're a parent, you want to look into some of the programs they have. They're doing a thing with the Dynamo right now and doing soccer training during the summer while kids are not in school. So all these cool things you can do at O-Athletic. Training, classes, recovery, all that's there for you. Check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, and tell them Joe George sent you by.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros lost yesterday to the Chicago White Sox 2-0. We heard from Dana Brown today. He's hoping that they can get within 5 games of the division-leading Seattle Mariners by the end of July. Good luck on that front. And saying, again, they got to get on a roll at some point soon. Well, last night should have been the start of said roll. They should be in second place by themselves because the Rangers have lost 5 in a row. Better figure it out tonight. 7 hits and no runs, unacceptable. Framber Valdez, 5 walks, unacceptable. Losing to a team with 2 hits, unacceptable.
Are you okay with the 5 games by the end of July? Do you want to be just a little bit, a tad better? 3 games, 4 games?
I mean, I want them to be back above 500 by the end of July. I suppose that being back above 500 could mean within 5 games of the AL West.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, you need help for that.
Yeah, you need the Mariners to not play as well as they're playing right now, too. And they're playing very well. They've got very good pitching. And their hitting could not have been worse to open the year. So it's going to be tough. Anyway, time for a little garbage time to wrap things up.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I did a podcast episode on my live stream show talking about what a terrible destination Green Bay would be for the NFL draft next year, highlighting some of the absolutely mid offerings that Green Bay has to entertain people unrelated to football. They do not deserve the 2025 NFL draft entirely based on this. Every Green Bay area hotel room is already booked for the week of the 2025 NFL draft per the Green Bay Press Gazette. A 3-bedroom home across Lombardi Avenue from Lambeau Field is asking for, get this, $17,900 per night.
Whoa.
With additional fees that would make the total cost for staying there the full week of the draft $142,000 plus $875.
Holy cow. Yeah, I mean, this always seemed like a bad decision to me because it's the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's a hike from Chicago and from Milwaukee.
Exactly.
3 hours, I think, from each.
Exactly. So you don't, and plus you get the weather that you typically get around the draft time. Like it could be snowing significantly. Yeah. It could be beautiful out as well. But like that time of year in the Midwest is a total crapshoot. So you're going to commute from Chicago or Milwaukee to Green Bay for the NFL draft every day? Like, good luck.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all. I believe John Granato worked in Green Bay for a hot minute way back in the day. And he could probably tell us better things.
Way back in the day. I thought you said he wasn't that old.
I'm saying way back in the day.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's been in Houston for at least 20 years. So true. John Granato, radio legend that he is, godfather of Houston sports radio, perhaps at the young age of 12 was working in Green Bay.
I could see that.
Because it's a small market. You can probably work in a place like that at a very, very young age, breaking child labor laws in doing so. Continuing to go through garbage time, this might be a make you feel old moment. We talked about Justin Timberlake getting arrested for a DWI over the weekend. The police officer who arrested him was so young that he did not know who Timberlake is. What was your most recent I feel old moment, Joe George?
Pro Football Focus. They did best players at each position in the NFL born in the 2000s. The Texans had three of them. But still, just seeing that list made me feel old. Like seeing CJ, Will Anderson, Stingley Jr.
Now.
I'm just like, I can't believe we're making lists that start with best players born in 2000 and after.
The last moment I feel old was at down the street bar on Saturday, going up to the bar, ordering an espresso martini. Girl to the left of me orders an espresso martini as well. Someone in the middle hasn't ordered her drink yet. I said, you got to get an espresso martini. This girl, who might have been a little bit younger than me, proceeds to take a step back and walk around the friend that got the espresso martini to move further away from me at the bar.
Oh, no.
I felt very old there.
Old? Why old?
Yeah, why old?
I felt old.
Not creepy?
I didn't feel creepy. I just felt old.
You shouldn't have.
The silver in my hair. I'm pretty sure.
I think we have to make a decision.
Space creation.
Again, there's no evidence that's because you're old.
Yeah.
It made me feel old.
I think we either need to go...
I'm not even getting acknowledged. What's going on here?
We need to go more gray or less gray. Like, we need to make you more...
That's what we talked about.
Silver fox.
More daddy... Lean into the daddy issues.
Well, the problem is, one of my friends, who's a good-looking guy, has, like, full gray hair. I can't... I'd be, like, stepping on his block.
I don't think you need to. You don't need to do that.
I can't step on it.
Add a little bit.
No, I can't.
Like, for me, it's like, do I go fully bald or, like, half bald? For you, it's like, do you go full gray or not full gray?
I can't appropriate silver fox culture. Not here in 2024.
I think you can.
Can't do it. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass and, of course, Joe George. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
It's like a high school football game.
What high school?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
I think one of the...